Scripture reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 14, verses 60 through 62. Mark 14, 60 through 62. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
Good morning. Good to be together this morning. And I appreciate that scripture reading. Just hearing Chris read it, it stirs me in the thoughts of Jesus. And as he declares that he is the Christ and that he is the Son of Man. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. It's a blessing to be together this morning. Glad that we have some guests with us that and our regular visitors as well. If you've been traveling through, we ask God's blessings upon you. And we're glad that you are with us. Hope that you are will be edified today and be able to worship in spirit and truth with us. I'm glad that you're with us and hope that you'll come back and be with us again. As I'm looking forward, I know that I have next Sunday to be able to preach and speak to you again. But it's also always been a blessing here as you are my family, and where I'm going is very much a mission field, and so I ask for your prayers. This morning, we'll be looking at the subject of the Son of Man. Now, when you think about the titles of Jesus in the Bible, the Son of Man, you might think, well, Jesus is simply being humble here and saying that he was born of mankind, that he was born of a woman. And in contrast, someone might think, well, the title Son of God is a higher term. And as you read the beginning where Son of God comes from Psalm 2, you might be thinking, well, this is talking about him being more divine. And what I see actually is that they're actually reversed. It's the other way around. When Jesus is the Son of God, it's meaning that he is the Messiah, he is the King. That was what was prophesied, the God's begotten one that we read about in Psalm 2. And there is implication, of course, of deity in that. But even more so, when we read about the Son of Man in the Bible, when Jesus says, "I am the Son of Man," and he says it over 80 times throughout the Gospels, he says, "I am the Son of Man," what is he saying? And he's not simply saying that I am just a man like the rest of you. Now, Ezekiel used it that way. In Ezekiel, he used the term over 40 times in the book of Ezekiel. Might have been more than that. But in Ezekiel says, "I'm the Son of Man," in the sense that he is a prophet, in the sense of being, "I'm like one of you, I'm a humble man." But when Jesus says, "I'm the Son of Man," he means something different. And this month, as we are focusing on Jesus as a person, and we think more, and a lot of people in the world are thinking about Jesus coming as incarnate God, and a lot of people thinking about his birth as well, great time of the year to be able to share the gospel with others and to present Jesus for who he is and what the Bible says about him. So this morning, I encourage you. In our Bible study, we had kind of a Christian evidences apologetic Bible study. This one is very much like that. I want to stand in awe of Jesus Christ, but I also want to be able to say, when Jesus says he is the Son of Man, that is a very powerful statement. The critics of the Bible, when they come and they look at Jesus, the atheists and so forth, and they read about Jesus in the Bible, they say, well, these miracles, they think they're legends, that they were exaggerated or even made up. And so they have these ideas. But one thing that they admit, that Jesus was an apocalyptical preacher, is what they say, a Jewish man who claimed to be the Son of Man. And they know the implications of it. And so a big question rises up when we ask, what does it mean when Jesus says, "I'm the Son of Man"? How important is it to us as Christians in saying, I know who Jesus is, I know the one of whom I believed who will save me, and I'm willing to declare him and defend him by the name that all people recognize that he claimed, that he was the Son of Man. And we're going to look a little bit closer this morning. First of all, let's think about this. Most people, they fear confessing anything controversial. When you're in the workplace or in school or around other people, you know there's certain issues you don't touch on. Around family, you don't talk about certain family history. You don't touch on those controversial issues. When it comes to politics, you know how that is, how touchy it can be. And a lot of people are telling us today, you need to keep your faith and your religion to yourself. Keep it in the church building. We don't want to hear it. People will say today, this is a secular country, and everything is secular, and God just belongs in you, within you, and in your home, and in your church building, and you don't need to bring them out. But when we look at our country, we look at the foundation of it, that's not what our country was. It was a country with a belief in God as the creator who has given us unalienable rights. The very idea that is nonsense. Furthermore, even if our country were secular or pagan or whatever else you could come up with, that should not stop a Christian from boldly declaring, I believe Jesus Christ. That he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and that he is the Son of Man. As a Christian, I need to be able to defend my faith. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 tells us we need to be ready to give a defense of the hope that is within us. Are you able to do that? And one of the most basic ways of doing that is to stand up and say, I know who Jesus is. I believe in him, and I want to share him with others, and I will defend him, and I will confess him until my final breath. We want to have that kind of courage and boldness. And I was thinking about this study this week. I was reflecting on Philip's lesson last Sunday night as he talks about Peter and how Peter first denied Jesus, but then he came to confess him. And there are things and weaknesses in our life. We want to make sure that we are growing and maturing and looking at Peter's example, that we will confess him. And that someone saying, well, you can't talk about Jesus, that controversy, that we stand up in boldness against it. So let's look a little bit further on what it means to be the Son of Man. When the Jewish people heard the Son of Man, they didn't think of, well, Ezekiel called himself that 40 to 80 times. That's not what they were thinking. They were thinking of Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Daniel chapter 7, 13 through 14. They were thinking about this event right here. And many times in the New Testament, when you hear Jesus talking about his coming, he could be talking about his coming to earth. Most of the time he is on the day of judgment. But there's also an implication that he is talking about his coming to God in the Ancient of Days. When he died on the cross and he came to God and received his kingdom. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, when Christ comes back and the resurrection occurs, he will deliver his kingdom to the Father. And so you have that picture of the kingdom beginning at the crucifixion of Jesus. And Jesus's resurrection is ascension to the right hand of God. He begins reigning at the right hand of God. And does so. And we see that his kingdom will be ultimately delivered up to the Father in 1 Corinthians 15. This is what we read. Daniel says, I saw in the night visions. And we know, if you know that last ending, the last half of Daniel, he has these visions that sound a lot like the book of Revelation. And he says, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days. And if you're reading the text, you know who the Ancient of Days is. This is God. So who comes in the clouds of heaven? Who comes to the Ancient of Days? And that confession that we read from Jesus before the Jewish Supreme Court that Chris had read for us this morning, you have Jesus saying to that Jewish Supreme Court, to that Jewish council before the high priest, you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. You're going to see this. Matthew and Luke says, from now on, you will see this. From now on, you will see this. So that's a very interesting statement. How do we continue and how would they see it from that time forward? We could talk more about that, but this is what we see here. The Son of Man, he comes to the Ancient of Days, was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. And we have that in the church. All ethnicities are able to come together, all nationalities within his kingdom as we've been transferred into the kingdom of God. Colossians 1 and verse 13. And so Christ receives, this prophesied and predicted, that the Son of Man, the Messiah, would receive this kingdom. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. And that's true of the church, and even in the great manifestation of the kingdom in its eternity when we get there. The kingdom goes on. And so we have this great passage here, and we have Jesus saying over and over again as he talks about himself, he says, I am the Son of Man. I am this man. I am the Messiah. I am one who is equal to God, who can approach God and that is equal in his deity. And that the Ancient of Days would give him all this dominion. That's what the ancient Jews were hearing. They were probably also thinking about other psalms and other prophecies. One coming to mind would be Psalm 110. Here in verse 4, it says that the Messiah would become a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. But listen to this verse. It says, the Lord, notice capital O-R-D, meaning Yahweh, Jehovah, says to my Lord, Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And here it is that Christ, the Bible says over and over again, ascended into heaven, and he's at the right hand of God, and that all things are being put under his feet. And the Bible talks about that more in 1 Corinthians 15, until the final day when Christ returns. So this is what is happening. And you might be thinking, why is this so significant? Again, even the skeptics, the academics, the atheists believe and admit that Jesus claimed to be the Son of Man. Jesus came and he said, I'm going to be this man who is going to receive these things and sit at the right hand of God. And my point to you this morning is this is a strong affirmation that when Jesus says, I am the Son of Man, proves that he is the Son of Man. It proves and demonstrates that he is the Son of God. It gives us means of saying, I believe, and that this is undeniable, that Jesus is the Lord. There's a very famous book written by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. If you ever read it, it's filled with a number of Christian evidences in it. Lewis does a very good job throughout it. There's very few things I disagree with in it. But there are very, very good things in it. And if you've never read that book, it has helped many in the study of defending their faith. I think if you talk to the men in Apologetics Press and others, they'll tell you the same thing. There's a lot of good to learn from that book. But the world today, here's our dilemma or trilemma this morning. We face the question. The same thing as Jesus proposed to his disciples, who do people say that I am? And as we go and we spread the gospel, a lot of people today have no concept of who God is, a very fragile view, a limited view of who Jesus is. And so when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say who I am? It's a great question. One that we should be asking the world, even when the world says, well, we're secular, I don't want to hear it. I'm still going to ask you, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Because you've got to answer this. Who is Jesus throughout history? The man who has changed the course of history more than any other. It is because of Christ that we have libraries and hospitals. Society has changed. Reading has become a basic part that we expect all people to be able to read. Why? Because of Christ. Because he brought the gospel to the world and his disciples spread it out. And the scriptures tell you to read. And so it became very important to teach our children to read. In that book by C.S. Lewis, as I brought up earlier, he asked the question, when you look at Jesus, you've got to be able to answer this. What is it about Jesus? Who he is? He is either a lunatic, he is a liar, or he is Lord. And this has to be connected with the fact that Jesus says, I am the Son of Man. And when we look at that, I don't even hear skeptics today saying, well, I think he is a lunatic or a liar or a Lord. You know what they say? They say they think there's an L missing here. They say, we think that he was a legend. The problem with that is it's not legend. It's accepted by everyone. It's factual that Jesus said he is the Son of Man. It brings us back to the question, and one that we could ask others, those around us, those family that we're going to be around who don't believe or been struggling or been disconnected from the church, what are you going to do with Jesus? Why are you not a part of his body and in the church? Why are you not active? Why do you not believe? Because the truth is, Jesus is either a lunatic thinking that he was the Son of Man, or he's a liar, intentionally thinking this and spreading around, or he is the Lord. And when you read the Gospels, you read Jesus as sincere and real. You know it. When we read the scriptures, we experience that. And I think it's a great question again to ask today. And again, some say, oh, he's an historical figure. These things are exaggerated about him, but you can't say he's mere legend when you say also he claims to be the Son of Man, the one who will come to the Ancient of Days, the one who is equal to God, the one who is the Messiah who sits at the right hand of God with all the power that he has, power over all dominions and rulers of this earth, as we studied last week from Colossians chapter 1. That is Christ. That is God come in the flesh, and he deserves our worship and honor and respect and our thanksgiving. Thank God that he came, that he taught and lived the life that he did, a sinless life, that he died on the cross and that he was buried, and that death could not hold him, so he rose from that grave. And by rising, he gives us eternal life. And then he ascended to the right hand of God, just as the Bible predicted that he would. And so again, I urge you, brothers and sisters, that we not bend our backs and give up on this. And the pressure in the world today is you be quiet. Stop telling others about how you believe Jesus is the Messiah, that he is God. Stop telling others about your faith. I'm not going to do that. And as I'm leaving Dean Road, I want to leave this with you. And as we're thinking about Jesus and his deity, that we proclaim, I believe this. And not only that, it becomes very hard for us to share the gospel with others who don't believe or are highly critical. We ourselves are not willing to profess it to one another. When we're not willing to sing to one another about how great Jesus is, we're not willing to study God's word together and talk to one another. And I know there's some that come into church and all they want to do is listen, listen, listen. But we want to be able to confess, to speak with our own mouth to one another, and not just to one another. That we continue to do that, we can do it with our family and then our friends and even to those who claim to be enemies of Christ. I think it's a far greater jump to go from saying, okay, I heard the gospel, now I'm going to go tell the enemies of Christ. It's much easier to start by, I'm going to start telling my family, my friends, my church, I'm going to talk about Jesus, and I'm going to take it to every part of my life and tell my coworkers and my neighbors and even those who will criticize me and tell me to be quiet. I will continue to confess that Jesus is the Son of Man. And that's what Jesus tells us to do. We're going to look at another passage this morning. But Jesus says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 26, he is ashamed of those who do not confess him and acknowledge him and accept him. And if we do not acknowledge and confess that he is the Son of Man, Christ says, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. Jesus claimed to be the Son of Man. And the Son of Man, again, is more than admitting that he was a mere man. As we've seen this morning, it means so much more. I think about Jesus' great confession. As Paul told Timothy, the great confession is when Jesus confessed to Pontius Pilate that he is the Christ. But a part of that great confession has to do with Jesus also confessing and standing before the Jewish Supreme Court for those who are going to find him guilty of blasphemy. That's what we read about here in Mark chapter 14. And we're going to read it in a moment. But this is what I observe. This is what I see that goes on in Mark chapter 14. Number one here, that the Jewish council, they sought witnesses. They brought in these people and they were lying. They were giving false witnesses. And under the law, if you were bringing false witness against somebody to have them put to death, you were to be put to death. That's what the law of Moses says. But that evidently wasn't happening here. They're looking for these witnesses, but none of they're being cross-examined. None of their arguments are standing up. And Jesus is being quiet in the midst of this. And then the high priest says, why don't you speak? And Jesus remains silent. And then he asks him, tell us if you are the Christ. And he says, I am. And then Jesus confesses more than that. He says, not only I am the Christ, yes, I am the Son of Man. And you will see him in the clouds. You will see him come to God. A very powerful scripture we'll read in a moment. We also see here when the high priest, I want you to look at this. How did the priest respond to this? How did the people who are going to give him up to have him crucified respond to Jesus saying he is the Son of Man? Even today, it makes people very angry to hear that. But the high priest, they tore their clothes, their garments, and they said, oh, he blasphemes. We don't need any more witnesses. Why? Because they're all claiming we're all witnesses to hearing Jesus saying he's the Son of God. And they accuse him of blasphemy and say, because of blasphemy, he deserves death. And so they begin to spit on him and they mock him, telling him, mocking him, you prophesy. And they begin to beat him and to strike him. A lot of times we focus on Jesus' beating only after he's gone to Pontius Pilate. We look at the Roman soldiers, we look at his scourging, but he is beaten more than once before he even comes to Pontius Pilate. Those things he suffered for us. And he suffers here as he confesses the great confession that he is the Son of Man. Now, if you have your Bibles, read with me in Mark chapter 14. Make your own observations. See if these things are true about what we read here. Mark chapter 14, verse 53. And they led Jesus to the high priest. And all the high priests and the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. And now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death. And they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands. And yet even about this testimony, they did not agree. The high priest stood up in the midst, and he asked Jesus, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But he remained silent and made no answer. And again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witnesses do we need? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards received him with blows. We see how the council responded. We see how the guards responded here in mockery of Jesus. So he confessed his faith. And we look at Jesus, we want to do the same. I'm willing to confess this, to say that Jesus is the Son of Man, and to be able to proclaim to others, this is who he is, and I know that Jesus is Lord because of who he claimed to be. Nobody would claim these things without them being true unless they were a liar or a lunatic, and that's not what we have in Jesus. And so he is condemned. The high priest here are hearing Jesus saying, "I'm the one who's going to receive the eternal kingdom. I am the Messiah. I am this man." So they become outraged. Throughout Jesus' life, he has said a number of times about himself being the Son of Man. He attested that he is the Son of Man and that he, as the Son of Man, has the ability to forgive sins that only God has the ability to do. So when we hear Jesus saying, "I'm the Son of Man," he is not simply saying, "I am man," or "just born of a woman." He is saying, "I am the Messiah, I am God come in the flesh, God incarnate." Number two, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one who has authority and control even over the old law and over what was to be kept. We see here the Son of Man, he says the Son of Man will suffer, and repeatedly throughout the Gospel of Mark and the rest of the Gospels, Jesus says the Son of Man when he talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection that was going to come. When he talks about, "I'm going to die, and I'm going to be delivered over to the Gentiles, to the Romans, that I'm going to be lifted up," he says in the Gospel of John, "that I'm going to die and I'm going to resurrect, rise, bodily resurrect on the third day." That's what it means when Jesus says, "I am the Son of Man." He is proclaiming the gospel. And number four, the Son of Man came to, he says, to serve and to give his life for the many. This is just a few things. I have a whole other list of Luke and Matthew as I was studying, looking through again all the times that Jesus called himself the Son of Man. And you can see the implications. We need to understand this title when Jesus says this, what he is claiming to be and who he is. He is the Messiah. He is the one that sits at the right hand of God, who has authority, who mediates and speaks on our behalf. He is our advocate, and showing his love for us as his blood is able to enter into God and to wash away and take away our sins constantly. We thank him for that. This morning, I encourage you, because Jesus claimed to be the Son of Man, he is either lunatic, liar, or Lord. And you need to read your Bible and find out if you have doubts about that. If you struggle with it, this is just another reason I can stand up here and give you dozens and dozens upon reasons of why I believe in the Bible and I believe in Jesus Christ and why I believe he is the Christ. And brethren, we need to be able to do the same thing all the time, to be able to give a defense of the hope within us, to be able to say, this is who Jesus is. He is Lord because he claimed to be the Son of Man. So we ask that question as Jesus asked his disciples, and we remember how Peter answered. He says, "You are the Christ." When Jesus asked, "Who do people say the Son of Man is? Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And that's an important question for you to answer this morning. Before we conclude, I want you to look at these two passages here. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, "Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." As we read the scriptures, we see that when Christ ascended into heaven, he ascended to the right hand of God. That's where he is. And that shame is upon those who don't recognize who he is and proclaim and confess him. In Luke 9 and verse 26, we have Christ saying, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words," not just me, but the things that I've spoken, "of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory of the Father and of his holy angels." And whether this coming is before the Ancient of Days or his ultimate coming or both, we see it very clear. I don't want to be marked as being ashamed of Christ when he comes back. Never in any part of my life do I want to do that. I think Peter would confess that, even in the fact that he had once denied Jesus, but Peter confesses. And we as Christians need to boldly stand up and say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So today, in all places, wherever we are, do never, never give up on the confession that you are a Christian. Never give up on living that life and saying, I believe in Christ and who he is. And if anyone were to challenge you, you challenge them right back. Who do you say the Son of Man is? Who is he? He's not a liar and he's not a lunatic. He is Lord. This morning, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he rose from the dead, we encourage you, get your life right, to pray. If you're already a Christian, and as long as you walk in the light, your sins will be washed away as you confess them to God. 1 John chapter 1. But if you've never been baptized, you've never been immersed, you've never partaken of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ by baptism, you can do that and be joined to the church of Christ that we read about in the Bible. In the Gospel of Mark, again, Jesus talks about salvation. And he says, regarding salvation, he says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. This morning, we implore anybody, if you're not a Christian yet, put him on in baptism, be saved. If you believe and confess he rose from the dead and you've repented of your sins and you confess that faith, you can be baptized and rise up in the newness of life. Whatever your needs are, if you need prayers, you're going through struggles and hardships, you're dealing with sin, find someone around you or you can come forward right now. We would love to pray with you. We encourage you to come while we stand and while we sing. Please come.